We want to recognize on this Memorial Day weekend all of those who are vets, who have served, who have provided for us by your acts of sacrifice, the freedoms that we enjoy today, the freedom to gather freely and worship the Lord as we've had this morning. Thank you for your service. Would you stand? We want to recognize you with an applause of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You know, it was in April of 1863 in the town of Columbus, Mississippi, that after decorating the graves of her two Confederate sons who had fallen in the Civil War, that a lady went across the cemetery to another corner where there was an unmarked grave, and there she laid another bouquet of flowers. Somebody who was watching that take place asked the lady, "What is it that you're doing? Don't you know that those are the graves of Union soldiers?" And she says, "I know that. But today in the North, there's a mom who is grieving. Today in the North, there is a wife who mourns just as we do." And with that simple beginning, that act of kindness and remembrance, it set in motion what became in 1971 in our nation a national holiday that we call Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It is a day to pay tribute. It is a day to give honor, a day to give thanks. It's a day to remember. That's what holidays are for. It's to remind us of some significant event in the past that still impacts us as a people today and impacts the future that is yet before us. It's a day set aside from all of the other days to remember those events, but also to remember the lessons that are learned from those events, such as on July 4th when we celebrate the birth of our nation. And we're reminded of the sacrifice of those who paid a price. And we're reminded that freedom is not free. That freedom cost us something, and that we don't quickly lose sight of that, or the fact that our nation was founded by godly men on biblical principles, and that it is still God who has given all of us these inalienable rights that we enjoy today. So we have a day to remind ourselves of those truths. It's in December on the 7th that we remember another day. We call it Pearl Harbor Day. To remind us of the tragedy, quite different from July 4th. Not about victory, but about the loss of so many lives as ships were sunk in Pearl Harbor. The events that would draw us as a nation into the Second World War. And so we have a day to remember that, to not let down our guard, to remind us that we must be vigilant as a people, to remind us of how quickly our liberties can be lost. Those are what special days are for, holidays. We remember, and not just nationally, but on a personal level, we remember those special days, people in our lives, birthdays and anniversaries. As Christians, we pause from time to time to remember. We have Christmas to remind us, to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that the Word would be made flesh and would dwell among us, the virgin-born Son of God. We celebrate Easter to be reminded again that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that He would not only give His Son, but that His Son would give His life, that He would die on a cross, pay the penalty for our sins, rise from the dead, and guarantee for us the hope of eternal life. We have these times that we are forced, as it were, to remember. We set these dates. We set aside these times to remember. But why? Why do we do that? The answer is really simple. Because if we don't, we forget. We forget. How easy it is to forget. Even significant things, if enough years go by, if there aren't those reminders, it's amazing how easily we forget. Read the story of a guy from the city who was visiting his cousin out in the country, and shortly after he arrived, he watched as the farmer whistled and the dog went into action, gathered up all the cattle, pushed them into the corral, and with his paw closed the gate. I mean, it was an amazing thing to watch. And the city guy was like, man, wow, what a dog. What's her name? The old farmer who had some trouble forgetting from time to time, thought for a second, couldn't come up with a dog's name. And he said, what is that flower, the red flower with the long stem? It's got the thorns on it. And the guy said, a rose. He said, yeah, that's right, Rose. He turns to his wife. He said, Rose, what's our dog's name? So what do you do to remember? Hey, listen, if you're not there yet, be careful. Do you write things down? Do you make lists? You got post-it notes everywhere? How do you remember? You tie a ring around, a string around your finger. Somebody said, well, I got two strings around my finger. The second one's to remind me what the first one was for. You know, have you maybe figured out that if you repeat something often enough, you'll remember it? I know sometimes you probably look at me, you've met me, and you said, hi, I'm John, and I'm looking in your eyes, and in my mind, I'm going, John, I'm trying to remember your name, because in a minute, I'm going to say, John, we're so glad to meet you. And then sometimes I still forget. ever sung a song to help you remember? I was talking about that with the first service this morning, how that we've got the old hymns that we sing in that first service. And they're not worship songs like what we generally tend to sing here. Here we love to sing the songs that are just really vertical and talk to God. But sometimes it's good to talk about God and to be reminded of the things that God has done. And I'm noticing that even in the evolution of the songs that we sing in our contemporary service, that they have a tendency to go back and to remind us of some of the events of the Scripture so that we're continually being reminded of what it is that God is doing for us. Because if we don't get reminded, it's just so simply easy to forget. I know we got a lot of kids that are here this morning in the service, and maybe you kids, you started learning things by singing songs. I still know the books of the Bible because of a little song that I started singing when I was a kid. How many of you learn the books of the Bible with a song? Yeah, some of you. Mine goes like this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. I'm going to stop right there. I'll spare you the rest of it. But wait, we do these things to help us to remember, because there are some significant things that we just can't afford to forget. I mean, we've all forgotten things. No matter what we do to try to remember, we've all stood in the store going, I know there were three things that I came for, and there's only two things in my basket. What was that third thing? Or maybe it's, where did I put my glasses, or where did I put my cell phone? Sweetheart, would you please call my phone? Yeah, we've all done it, right? Or, why did I come in the kitchen? And some of you are laughing because you've been there. Some of you are laughing nervously because you're afraid you're going to be there. Yeah. And so we try to remember. And it's not just those insignificant things, but sometimes it's the more important things that we just don't want to forget. You ever had an appointment that was a special occasion, you were supposed to be there, and your phone rings, hello? Oh, hi, where are you? I'm home, where am I supposed to be? Embarrassing when you have those moments. But it's not just those kind of things. There are those spiritual truths, those things that have eternal value. They're not just of this world. They're things that are going to impact our future forever, that we don't want to forget. And so God, knowing how prone we are to forgetting, has put all kinds of things in the Word of God, all kinds of scriptures, all kinds of things in the life of the nation of His people to help us to remember all of those Jewish feasts that we're not Jews and we think, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference for them. It helped them to remember significant events and things that happened and what God did. And God's like, you got to do this every year because I know you. If you don't do it regularly enough, you'll so easily forget. Peter picks up on that concept in 2 Peter chapter 1 And I'm going to be reading a lot of different scripture this morning. Most of it's going to be up, but if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you're welcome to join me there as well. But Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, "Therefore I will always remind you," say those three words with me, "always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught." So Peter says, I'm going to always remind, I'm going to just keep on reminding you about stuff you already know. You already know about these Bible stories. You already know about these truths. You're already living your life in a way that demonstrates it, but that doesn't change anything. I'm just going to keep on reminding you. He goes on in verse 13, "And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you say it with me. Always remember that these things after I am gone. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." He's talking here about the Mount of Transfiguration. "Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets." In other words, we had an encounter with God, a revelation of God that made the Word of God become so alive in us. We'll never forget it. And then he says, "You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts." I, as a pastor, I just love that passage of Scripture. Because Peter, the preacher, is saying, hey, I know there's some stuff that you already know. I know the things that you're already doing. But I'm just going to keep on reminding you again and again and again. Because if I don't, I know what's going to happen. You'll so easily forget. And I recognize that as a pastor, most of the time when I stand to teach or to preach, I'm not necessarily bringing these brand new truths, concepts out of the Scripture that you've never seen before. Most of you, you've been serving the Lord for a long time. You've been reading your Bibles. You've got a good grasp of the Scripture. I do hope from time to time that as I discover something new, because guess what? I'm still discovering new stuff in the Bible myself. That as I discover those things new and I drop a new nugget that maybe you go, oh, wow, that was good. Never thought of that. Never considered that. Maybe a new fresh application of how you could take the Scriptures and work it into your own life in a way that brings meaning to you. I hope that that happens sometimes. But I'm satisfied knowing that even if that never happened, that there's value every time that I just simply remind you again and again and again of those basic, simple truths of the Word of God, of a God that loves us, of a Jesus who died on a cross in order to pay the penalty for our sins. The Bible's full of those exhortations to remember, times where people would literally establish memorials. We call this Memorial Day weekend, that they would establish what they call in the Bible memorials. Piles of rock, for instance, that will be set up so that generations to come would look back at this and say, what is the significance? What does this mean? What is it that I need to remember and never forget? All kinds of exhortations not to forget. In fact, I read where somebody suggested that there were more than 100 places in the Bible where God is telling us, don't forget. This is important. You need to remember this. So are you ready for a 100-point sermon today? I heard an amen, but I think I heard a lot more groans than the amen. So how about if I just cut it down to four or five things that we'll talk about this morning that it's important for us to remember. First of all, I want to encourage you this morning that it's important to remember your personal encounters with God. How many of you have had some personal encounters with God? Maybe it was that very first time that you gave your heart to Jesus and God became so real to you. Maybe it was a time where you were going through a real crisis in your life and you were crying out to God, God, I need you. I need your help. I need your direction. And in the midst of crying out to God, God shows up for us and he's there and he reveals himself. Maybe it was just in the context of a worship service or your daily devotional time, whatever it might be. But you had that encounter with God and God became more real to you than he had ever been before. I want to tell you, that's a valuable time in your life, and you don't want to forget it. You want to set up some memorials to remind yourself of those things so that you're reminded again of just how real God is. Because sometimes, come on, can we get real for a moment? Sometimes in the busyness of life, sometimes in the pain of life, sometimes when things aren't going the way that we might want them to go, sometimes when our prayers don't seem to be being answered like we would expect them to be answered, sometimes it's easy to begin to think, well, is God even real? If I just, you know, just trick myself into believing something, God, are you there? Do you really care? I tell you, you need to have some memorials in your life. You need to have some remembrances in your life. You need to remember those times where God showed up and you know God is real. I know he's real. Whether I feel him now or not, I know he's real. I've experienced him. Don't you forget those times. They're valuable. Jacob, as he's running from his brother, stops overnight and he has an encounter with God. The book of Genesis tells us the story, and sometimes we refer to it as the story of Jacob's ladder. Some of you children that are here, maybe you've heard that story in the Bible where Jacob, he lays down, he falls asleep with his head on a rock for a pillow. And he has this vision of God, and there's this ladder that's extending from heaven to earth, and there are angels coming up and down on the ladder. It's a really cool story in the Bible. And in that encounter, Jacob recognizes that God is real, and that God cares about him, that God is positioning himself to direct the life and the steps of Jacob. And it says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18, the next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar because he didn't want to forget this encounter that he had with God, because life was going to get tough for Jacob from time to time. He was going to go through some stuff from time to time, but here was a place where he could go back to. Here was a rock that was standing up that once had laid down. It's standing up for a reason. It's standing up for a purpose. It's a memorial to remind him, this is the place where I encountered a very real God. Secondly, I would encourage you to remember the miraculous delivering power of God. Anybody been set free from some stuff in your life? Oh, you need to remember. You need to remember where you came from. You need to remember what you once were. You need to remember the bondage that you were in and the despair that it brought to your life and the pain that it brought to your life. But you need to remember that moment where you encountered a God who is more powerful than your bondage and a God who set you free and brought you deliverance. Hallelujah. We need to remember those times, because if we don't remember the pain of the past, we're prone to go back to it. The Bible talks about how a dog returns to its vomit. You know, it's like, how could you go back? I've got a dog. Anybody got a dog? You've seen it actually happen. It happens. They throw up and then they start licking it up. You're going, that's gross. God's looking at us sometimes when we had the vomit in our lives and we got rid of it and he set us free. And if we're not careful, we'll go right back to that same old stuff again. The Bible talks about being set free in the liberty where we're in Christ Jesus and not being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because if we don't remember what God has set us free from, we have this tendency to just kind of wander back into it again. In Joshua, we have a great story in the Old Testament there where the nation of Israel's been wandering in the promised land for 40 years from Egypt, on their way to the promised land, and now they're at the Jordan River. God does a miraculous thing. The Bible says that he cut the waters off upstream, and all the water just kind of emptied out of the river, And now it's nothing but a dry place for them to walk over on. And the nation of Israel walks over because of the supernatural power of God that's delivering them out of their past and bringing them into the future that he's promised them. And they're going to walk over this place on dry ground. And in Joshua chapter 4, listen to what happens in verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So you got to get this. The ark of the covenant, the priests bring it into the waters. They bring it in. The water's cut off. It's dry ground. The ark is standing in the middle of the river with the priests there. And all the nation is crossing over. And Joshua says to these 12 leaders, I want you to go back into that river. I want you to go back into that place that God has opened up for us to come out of. But I don't want you to just go there and stand there. I don't want you to just go there and remain there. I want you to go there. I want you to get a reminder and bring it out. I want you to get a stone out of that river. A stone that's so big, you're going to have to put it on your shoulder to carry it. I'm not talking about a little rock you can put in your hand. I'm talking about a big stone that's been in the bottom of this river for hundreds of years. And the water's been rushing over. And it's been polishing this stone and wearing it down. There's a difference in a river rock and the rock that you'll find up in the hills somewhere. These river rocks, they're worn smooth. And I want you to take these big boulders that have been worn smooth, and I want you to bring them out. And we're going to take 12 of them. We're going to pile them up, and we're going to make a memorial out of it. Why? Let's look and see what it goes on to say. He says, we'll use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? I want to tell you something. You need to have some memorials in your life that when your children and your grandchildren begin to ask you about your faith, they begin to ask you about your God because they see some things in your life that makes them say, what is this about? You need to be ready to answer those questions. Oh, come on, somebody can do better amen than that. And then you can tell them, they remind us. They remind us, we need reminders. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Oh, do you remember when God saved you? Do you remember when he delivered you? Do you remember when he brought you out of your Egypt? Do you remember when he made a way for you where there seemed to be no way? And in the midst of it, God showed up. Listen, don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forget. Number three, we need to remember the supernatural provision of God. That kind of just flows naturally out of what we were just talking about. The supernatural provision of God. Because, you see, God is a God who's taken care of us. He's a God that's watching over us. He's a God that's providing for us. How many of you in this place have been through times in your life where the paycheck ran out before the month did? Yeah. And how many times have we seen God somehow supernatural provide? I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, but somehow that bill gets paid. I don't know where the groceries are coming from, but somehow there's something to eat. I don't know where the next job's going to come from, and then all of a sudden it's there. A check that shows up in the mail, a good friend that says, here, the Lord just laid you on my heart. I was praying, and here's $100 bill. I don't know what you need. And you're thinking, it was exactly what I needed. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a God that loves you, a God who's taking care of you, a God that's supernaturally providing for you. And we need to remember those times, because if we don't, we'll get proud and boastful, and we'll think that we've always made our own way. You'll start thinking, yeah, I did it all by myself because I worked hard and I was smarter than the next guy. No, you weren't. It was God. It was God that was there all along who was providing you and taking care of you. And you need to remember those things. There's this, because I tell you, it's a dangerous thing when you forget the provision of God. Then you start to get sidetracked and lifted up and trusted in yourself. There's a story in Deuteronomy chapter 32, not really so much a story as it is an exhortation that Moses is giving to the people. The book of Deuteronomy is called the book of the second law. It's a reminder. The whole book, really, is a reminder. You already heard this before. God already told you this before. But let me just walk through and tell you this again because I know you're prone to forget. And so Moses gives them this reminder, the second law. And in the midst of this giving of this law, Moses really brings out why this is important. I want you to see it's a little lengthy, but follow along with me on the screens. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, it begins with the word remember. Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father. He will inform you. Inquire of your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number in his heavenly court. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is a special possession. Now I want you to really pick up here because he's getting ready to just lay out all of the things that God has done for the nation of Israel. Watch this. Verse 10, he found them in a desert land, in an empty howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young. So he spread his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. He let them ride over the highlands and feast on the crops of the fields. He nourished them with honey from the rock and olive oil from the stony ground. He fed them with yogurt from the herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs. He gave them the choice rams of Bashan and goats, together with the choicest wheat. You drank the finest wine made from the juice of grapes. Do you hear what Moses is saying to the people? Do you remember what all God has done for you? How he's taken care of you? How he's provided for you? You didn't get the leftovers. You got the best. You got the choice. You got the finest. You got the miraculous. You got the honey out of the rock. You got stuff that came supernaturally that you could have never had in any other way. God has so wonderfully taken care of you. And then we come to verse 15 in the word but. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plumped, and stuffed. Is that God calling? It is. I wish he was calling me right now, but I turned my phone off. Ooh. Here we go. Back into this. Somebody help me remember where I was at. Verse 15, yeah, fat. I was talking about fat. Y'all, some of y'all got that. Listen, this is not a sermon on gluttony, okay? It's just in the scripture here. Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. That is pretty graphic, isn't it? And then they abandoned the God who had made them. Look, they're receiving the blessings of God. And somebody said they're just getting fat on the goodness of the Lord. And they forsook God. They abandoned him. They made light of the rock of their salvation. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable deeds. They offered sacrifices to demons which are not God, to gods they had not known before, to new gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors had never feared. You neglected the rock who fathered you. How could this have happened? How could they have taken the blessings of the Lord and used that to just turn totally against God? And he gives them the answer. You forgot. You forgot. You forgot the God who had given you birth. And all of the blessings of life, you forgot God and all of the provisions that he made for you. But you forgot God. And instead, you turn to other things that aren't even God. We turn to our materialism. We turn to all of the stuff that is supposed to make us happy instead of the one who fathered us, who loves us, who's provided for us. And so we need to remember. What a warning. What a warning. Number four, I'm wrapping this up real quickly here. Remember the cross. Remember the cross. In Luke 22, it says that Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Of course, we recognize that as the communion, that meal that Jesus established, so that as often as we eat this bread and as often as we drink of this cup, we would do it in remembrance of Jesus, so that we would never forget. Lord, how could we ever forget? How could we forget what you did? How could we forget the cross? How could we forget your broken body? How could we forget your shed blood? But, oh, the human nature. And the way that Satan would try to grab our attention and cause us to forget. God says, "I'm putting this in place so that you're constantly reminded." We need to be reminded of the cross. It's the cross. It's the beginning place of our salvation, of our discipleship. But you see, if you ever get away from the cross, you'll forget the price, the cost of your sin, the price that Jesus paid in order for you to have eternal life. You'll begin to take things for granted. You'll so easily fall back into your old sinful ways, not thinking about what it's going to cost for those sins to be forgiven. And so we remember the cross. And then we need to remember, as Jesus tells us, your first love. He's looking at the church in the book of Revelation chapter 2. He's looking at his church. He's looking at the church of Ephesus there. And he's going to compliment them on doing a lot of things right. And then he's going to say, "But you've lost your first love." Look at it. Revelation 2 verse 2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you've tested those who say they're apostles and are not. You found them liars, and you've persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." You've done a lot of good things. And he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You left your first love." All of this religious stuff that you're doing that is good, and I compliment you. But you're doing it for the wrong reason. The song that we were just singing talks about shake up the walls of all my tradition and the religion and all of that stuff and get back to where we're making room for Jesus, the first love. You see, it's one thing to serve God out of a sense of obligation, to serve God out of a sense of duty. A slave will serve out of a sense of obligation and duty. But you're not slaves. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And He loves you, and He wants a personal relationship with you. And yet it's so easy, if we're not careful, church, if we're not careful, we'll get wrapped up in other stuff, and we'll pursue this, and we'll pursue that, and oh, we'll still read our Bible, and we'll still pray, and we'll still come to church, and we'll still sing our songs, but it's out of an obligation. And he says, "You've done all of these wonderful things, and I'm glad you're doing them, but I got something against you. Something's not quite right in the midst of it, and that is you've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. You don't want to be in my presence like you used to. You're doing stuff for the wrong reasons." And he says in verse 5, "Remember, therefore," that's the solution. There's the fix. Remember. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place." God, help us to remember. Help us, Lord, to get back to our first love. You know, this is a Memorial Day weekend. There's a lot of things that it's right and proper for us to remember as a nation, as a people. But I speak to you today not as Americans. I speak to you today as the church, as the body of Christ. And I say there's some things that we do good to never forget, to build some memorials in our life, to put some things in our lives that help us continually remember the goodness and the blessings of the Lord. Father, help us to remember your goodness, to remember where we came from, to remember the bondage of life that we were once in. But help us to remember you, your love for us, how freely you paid the price to redeem us by the blood of the Lamb. Because of your love, you loved us while we were still sinners. Lord, that's how we learn to love you back. Lord, where we've forgotten some things that you call important, stir our remembrance, Lord. Bring those things back to us. Cause us, O Lord, to remember and to yearn to go back to those special places, to those special encounters with you, so that we can move forward with faith, not with fear, not with worry, not with doubt, but in faith, because we remember what God has done, and we can walk with confidence that you'll do it again. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's someone here who you've not yet made the decision to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. I want to speak to you just for a moment. There's one more passage of Scripture where Jesus is talking about a rich man who dies. He goes to hell. He's tormented in the flames. He's asking Abraham, he says, Father Abraham, is there some way that you can send Lazarus, who had been a beggar that had sat around his table during life? Is there a way you can send Lazarus, who would dip his finger into some water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame? I want you to know, hell is real. It's very real. It's a horrible place, and you don't want to be there. And in the midst of the conversation that happens, one of the things that is said is, Abraham looks at this rich man and he says, son, remember. Remember. I see where you are now, but do you remember where you came from? Do you remember the events of life? Do you remember the way it was then? I want to tell you, folks that are in hell today don't suffer from memory loss. They remember all too well. They remember every sermon that was ever preached. They will remember every invitation that was ever given. They'll remember every time that they knew and they were pricked in their heart, I need to make a change in my life, but for whatever reason, they did not. They will remember. I don't want you to be one of those who's in that place remembering your lost opportunity. I want to offer you an opportunity today to make Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior. And so if that's you and you know that you need to come home to Jesus, you need to surrender, you need to repent of your sin. Listen, salvation is so easy. Accepting Jesus as your Savior is so easy. It's just acknowledging the fact that Jesus died on the cross and he paid the penalty for your sin and he rose again so that you could have eternal life. It's as simple as acknowledging that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. It's as simple as confessing your sins before him and inviting him to come into your heart. And if you would like to make that decision today, I'd love to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right now? If God's speaking to your heart and you know that it's time to come home to Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I'm looking around the room. I don't see any hands lifted. But maybe there's somebody watching online. God's been speaking to you and you're ready to change the direction of your life and make Jesus your Lord. It's as simple as praying this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. I acknowledge that you died on a cross, that you paid the penalty for all my sin. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender to your Lordship. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. for saving me. And if you prayed that simple prayer, I want you to know that all of heaven rejoices today. All of heaven rejoices that you've made the decision to come home. And we would love to welcome you into the family of God here at Spirit Life Church. Online, you can just type it in. I made Jesus Lord and Savior. We'll reach out to you and help you to take the steps that are necessary to grow in your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to ask all to stand in this place today, and we're going to have a closing prayer. Before we do, I want to invite our prayer team to come and to join me here at the front. Maybe there's some needs in your life today. I love it when I see folks come to the altar early on in the service. You don't wait. You're just like, I can't wait until the end of the service to get what I need from God. I need it right now. And I love that that happens. It's so amazing how many times I talk to people who are new to our church, and they tell me, they say, you know, one of the things that I really love about the church, I just love it when people come down and to get prayer, and folks just swarm around them and just pray and love all over them. I love that too. But if you didn't get that opportunity earlier, you don't want to leave the day carrying a burden in your life. We still stand here ready to pray for you. So as we close in a final prayer, if you need prayer for anything, just come on down to the front. We'll meet you here and pray with you. Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you, Father, for all the reminders that you've given us of how good you are. Help us to live, Lord, in the gratitude of those reminders. Help us to live our life, Lord, in a way that honors you and reflects you. Help us not to forget and to turn back to the old ways. But God, help us to keep pursuing you and that first love. God, I ask your blessings upon all of us. Give us a great, safe holiday weekend. And Lord, for all of the things that you do in our life that are certainly good, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you, Spirit Life Church.